Okay, fantastic. All right, let me introduce myself. My name is David Thomas. I am actually the president of JD Marketing Associates. We are the company that built the Cast of the Ice website, and I get the distinct honor tonight to introduce our special guest. And like I said earlier, there was an avalanche of registrations for this call. Bill, I'm sure, will explain what has happened over the last 2 months, but things have been kind of crazy around here. Bill Balsamico, the guest of honor tonight, let me just give you a little brief background. Bill has actually been self-employed the majority of his life. He actually opened Cast of the Ice. It's probably his 10th or 11th business that he's had in his lifetime. He's had a few very successful businesses. Cast of the Ice opened in late 98. And the building that Cast of the Ice is in was actually Bill's prior business, which he was about the largest producer of ice in the tri-state area, Pennsylvania, Ohio, West Virginia, in that region. He has a very diverse business background, and as most of you already know, Bill is an American who has the guts to say what he's thinking. And with that said, let me welcome to the call the sign man himself, Mr. Bill Balsamico. Welcome, Bill. Bill, you there? There he is. Bill, you on the call? I heard him a second ago. All right, let me unmute the call here. 1 second, folks.
All callers are muted. All callers are unmuted.
Hey, Bill, are you out there?
Yeah, hello, you there?
Hey, you're there now. I lost you for a second.
Okay, well, I'm having trouble here. There was an accident down the road, took out a pole, so now I'm on a cell phone, and I don't know what's going to happen here. I'm hoping things work out for us.
Oh, boy, okay. Well, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll get going with the call here, but, Bill, what I might need you to do is I might need you to dial back in, but put a star at the end of that code instead of the pound key.
Okay.
Because otherwise I won't be able to mute out all the background noise.
All right, then.
Can
you do that?
Yeah, go ahead and do it real quick.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. All right, guys, we'll get Bill back on the call here in a second.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, this is Terry from Virginia.
Hi, welcome to the call.
Hi, I just heard what was said there. I just got on.
No problem. Bill's going to dial right back into the call here in a second, and we'll get started.
No problem.
Okay, let me go ahead and mute the call and get rid of all the background noise, and we'll be right back with you.
All callers are muted and may unmute themselves by pressing 6.
Okay, there was an earlier question. When you guys do have a chance to ask questions of Bill, all you have to do to unmute your line is press the number 6 on your keypad. That'll unmute your line, and then you can ask your question, talk to Bill, and then when you're done, all we ask that you do is press the number 6 again, and that'll remute your line. That way we'll keep the background noise down to a minimum, because we have about 100 people that are going to be on this call tonight. Bill, are you back with us?
This is Bill.
All right, Bill is back with us. Well, I gave him the introduction, so welcome to the call. Bill, how are you doing tonight?
Very good, thank you.
Excellent.
And I hope everybody else is doing just as well.
All right. Well, we got a lot of interested callers, I'm sure, that want to talk to you tonight and hear what's on your mind lately. What I'd like to do to start out is there was a lot of people, not a lot, but about 10 or 11 people that submitted some questions ahead of time on the teleseminar registration form. So I just want to go over through a couple things real quickly. Grace Poteet actually said, Bill, you have the nerve that millions of people wish they had. We as Americans would not turn our backs on anyone, yet it is our rights, our traditions that are being shoved aside to accommodate the greed for cheap labor. We have just about bargained ourselves out of a country. Then what? What do you have to say about that, Bill?
Well, that's exactly what's happening, because everybody in this country is just worried about being politically correct all the time. And when you're worried about being politically correct, you've already submitted 25% of your rights, because you're worried about offending somebody else.
Exactly. That's a huge thing I know on the minds of a lot of the callers. We have gotten thousands of emails, and I mean we're actually over 10,000 emails now over the last 2 months of people that are sick and tired of what's going on out there and want to talk to Bill about it. Janice Christensen actually asked, Bill. Bill, did you ever think of running for a political office? I'd vote for you. What do you say about that?
Well, I'm really not interested in getting into politics, especially at my age, but it would be an interesting thing just to try out on a small scale, but believe me, I have no intentions on doing anything like that.
Busy enough already.
Well, there's on a small scale, there's not enough graft.
Gotcha. Gotcha. All right. Well, Scott said, Bill, how did the fluff-headed politically correct ever gain such attention for their disgusting cause when clearly a large portion of the population love it when someone speaks their minds? What do you have to say about that?
Well, the reason the fluffheads get all the attention and everything they get is because they spend too much time making an issue out of something that isn't an issue. Things that are so simple, they complicate, and that's why there's so much turmoil and everything that's going on in this country. For them to pass a $1,000 bill would cost us $150,000 by the time they're done with it.
That makes sense to me. Good point. Bob Friedman asks about a really current event that, Bill, I'm sure you're well up to date on, is the new war in the Middle East. What do you think about the Israelis' ability to protect their country from Hezbollah terrorists?
Well, they should have that right, and they should be able to do whatever they want to protect their land, and everybody else should mind their business. Those people have been at war for thousands of years, and they'll still be at war in thousands of years from now because their whole war is an issue over land, and nobody wants to give it up, and everybody keeps infringing on it, and that's why they keep going to battle over there. It's not about economics. It's not about oil. It's not about nothing. All it is land, and they want that right to have their own land, and they don't want nobody else on it.
Right. I'm sure we'll have a few callers talking about that topic tonight. Ron Daniels sent a whole bunch of questions and emails. Hopefully Ron is on the call tonight because, frankly, he had too many questions to go over right now, and he can address that later. Bob Levinson asked, what has the town fathers there in North Versailles, what has their response been to your signs? Have they had complaints from citizens to stop the signs? And a follow-up, would you ever think of hosting a TV show for us right-wingers?
The people in this township, the fathers of this township, have not really said anything one way or the other. The only time I get a complaint is when I put something profane up. And then I can understand that some women get upset because their kids are riding by in the car, but if their kids can read it and understand it, it's nothing that I taught them. But, you know, I apologize for that, and usually I'll end up taking it down because the police have better things to do than answer phone calls about my sign. But
right.
I still will make my point. I will never change from that.
Gotcha. I believe that. I know you. I know how you are, and I know that's the truth. One last question that was submitted in advance or comment. Linda Jones says, hi, Bill. Great job. If you can, let's talk about Social Security. Senators and representatives not paying into Social Security but still getting huge pensions. Men and women put their lives on the line to fight for our country and live on a poverty level. Hello, something's wrong with this picture. What do you say about that?
Well, that's because the people in these offices, they get to vote on whatever they want. They make their own rules, their own laws, and they live with them, and they make the money on it. Just like here recently, they all voted themselves a raise at 2 o'clock in the morning and walked out, and everybody went crazy because on this end, we are... this damn phone keeps ringing. We are at a point where we shouldn't have to pay for their product. That they're not giving us. All they do is take, take, take. They don't want to give us anything.
Right.
Hello, Bill.
Excellent. Yeah. Okay. I was just going to say, let's get started with our callers. Again, for those of you that want to ask Bill a question, all you have to do is press the number 6 on your keypad. That'll unmute your phone. And then after you're done talking to Bill, all we ask is that you press number 6 again, and that'll mute your call. So go ahead with the first caller.
Yeah, well, it's Bob Black. I'm Southeast Florida down here, and I was just curious what you think about this situation we got down here, the old wet-foot, dry-foot deal.
I'm sorry, what situation?
It's the wet-foot, dry-foot. You know, with the Cuban population being able to just touch, with, say, where did...
I didn't. The Cuban population does what I, the dog was working. I couldn't hear.
Yeah,
anything.
When they come over from Cuba, whatever, if they come over by boat, et cetera, all they have to do is touch the U.S. mainland, and they're home free.
Well, that's the same situation basically they have in Texas and Arizona and California.
Yeah.
They come in, and it's not right. This country was founded on immigration. I have no problem with legal immigration. If it wasn't for legal immigration, I wouldn't be here.
Yeah.
My grandfather. And I think that everything should be done in a legal manner, and everybody will be happy. If you come into this country, you go through the system like some people are doing, trying to make a living at it, trying to make a good job, raise a family the proper way and not be a drag on society, there's no problem with that. But
yeah.
The way they're coming in down in Florida, the Cubans are, the Mexicans are coming in, and the Haitians are coming in. They're all doing it, and they're overhitting us. It's like everybody's bombing everybody at one time, and it can't be sustained. There's not enough money in the economy to sustain it all. They're going to bleed this economy.
Yeah, true. Well, you know, the days of the old come through Ellis Island, and then they used to have to learn speak English and learn a little bit about the Constitution and the workings of the country before they were sworn in as citizens, and I guess they more or less have bypassed that situation as sort of a quick end deal.
Well, the problem with that is one of the problems that I believe is that when they eliminated the draft, the morals of all the young men in this country, they don't understand what this country is all about because they didn't have to serve 2 years for it.
Yeah.
Everybody's on a free ride, and that's all great as long as there's, you know, no wartime. As long as peace was still going on, and that's great. But now we're in wartime, we're having problems, and everybody's against this and everybody's against that, but they don't understand what this country was fought for and how it was fought for and how it got to where it is today.
Yeah, true. Well, what do you think about that circumstance back in the 60s when they sort of took prayer out of the school, and it seems like from then on everything sort of went downhill?
Well, I don't really like to get into that church and state deal out of schools. I can see where some people have an objection to it, but, you know, that's their right to have an objection. And if you want that objection, you stand at attention with the rest of the class, or you sit down and you don't participate in the prayer, but you don't put your omen on somebody else.
Yeah, well, I think our biggest hang-up today is I can understand certain factors, and I can go along with the First Amendment, and I think it's a good thing to follow up, but I think the ACLU is getting a little overboard on their First Amendment thing. I mean, if it was up to them, they'd do away with everything they could that said, "In God We Trust," etc.
Right. Well, there's a lot of things that are out of control in this country. That's one of them. Another thing is, you know, where they're trying to keep people from smoking and this, that, and the other. When you go into a bar, that's an atmosphere where people smoke. If you choose not to smoke or don't want to be in the smoke environment, then find another bar or another restaurant that doesn't do that. Don't force the bar owners with your rules and regulations, just like the DUIs. I agree they should get drunks off the road. But the DUI enforcement that they're running today, they're not getting the guy off the road they want to get off. All they're doing is hurting the guy that wants to stop for two or three beers after work because he had a hard day at work. But now he's afraid to stop for those couple beers because if he gets a DUI, it's a financial devastation.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Well, you know, you got a deal like out west. I don't know if you've been to Utah, but you can't smoke anywhere out there.
Well, Utah's a little bit off the wall for a lot of things, you know, not just smoking.
I agree with you, Bill. I don't want to tie it up. I was going to try to get some stuff off your website, but it's going to take me a week and a half to look at all that stuff, but I'm going to get some anyway.
Well, what you do is you get on the website, you take your time, and you pick out what you want, and you enjoy it. And what I've heard from people that have bought stuff from the website, they were happy with it. And then their friends also liked it, and they start looking at some of that stuff. And they were proud to wear those sayings out there so other people will get a message and start to think about what the hell's going on in this country.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to get some of that. And I'll tell you, I like the one-word dial one for English. I think that's a beauty.
That should be the precedent for everybody in this country. I mean, this is crazy. I think what that press one for English is, it's just a little bit of a front for it. Well, you press for one, it's going to transfer you to somebody in India, but they don't want you to know that. They just tell you that you're pressing one for English.
Well, everything's about being outsourced anyway, so usually when you call up to buy something, you go right over to Indy anyway.
Exactly, but they just don't want to tell you that, see?
They
just say press 1 for English, and they got somebody over there that kind of knows the language, but it doesn't take you more than 2 senses to figure out who you're talking to.
Absolutely. Well, just keep putting those signs up, Bill. I think they're fabulous. I mean,
well, thank you very much, and I appreciate your input and your time.
Okay.
Fantastic. Do we have a...
You do the same.
Great. Do we have another caller?
Yes.
Yeah, yes. Tom Driscoll from Maine.
Yes, how you doing this evening?
Pretty good. You know, you mentioned that if it wasn't for the immigration, you wouldn't be here. Well, you know,
exactly.
All but the American Indians wouldn't be here. And you know, it's really strange. We come over here, and we made them speak English, and it was their country. You know, where's the sense in, you know, letting everybody else speak whatever the hell they want now? And, you know, if they bring the draft back, and you get all these guys over there in some kind of a conflict, and you got about 6 or 7 different languages, and you get some Spanish guy on the radio, you're screwed.
You wouldn't have 6 or 7 different languages if they made English the language. Do you know that in 1932, the FCC made English the mandatory language so that traffic controllers wouldn't kill people in the air, because there was an accident because of one gentleman that couldn't speak proper English and his instructions weren't taken to heart. They didn't understand them, and there was a collision. The FCC made English a mandatory language. Everybody that works in air traffic control has to speak fluent English.
Yeah, you got a politician in your own state there that he's supporting an amendment to make English the official language of Pennsylvania.
That's Rick Santorum, I believe.
Adam Harris.
Oh, okay. Well, I think Rick Santorum is also on the bandwagon with it. And that's the way it should be. Every politician in this country should be supporting something like that. And it's up to us to follow what our politicians are doing and voting on, because come next election, if they're not doing what they should be doing or what we want them to do to make our country proper and safe, they should be out in the street instead of just getting a pass and coming back for another term.
You know, it's a good thing we don't have the system, the barter system, to be a few people starving.
No, we do have the barter system, but we just don't realize how much of it's being bartered away behind closed doors.
Yeah, that's true too. There's the latest poll they did on the English language being the official language. 84% of the American people support English as the official language. 84%. Now, I thought the
majority... And here we are. 84% of us are struggling to keep it the number one language when we shouldn't even have to do anything. It should be automatic.
That's right. And then the EEOC, the Equal Employment Opportunity Committee, they're suing some guy down in, I think it's Nevada. He runs a drive-thru. You know, it's a small family-run operation. And they're suing him because he required the employees to speak English. Now, I think that's ridiculous, that they should step in and try and sue some small businessman like that, you know.
Well, they're trying to do the same thing in Philadelphia with a guy by the name of, I think it's
Joe
Vento. He owns a Philly cheesesteakhouse in Philly.
Oh, yeah.
And
I saw that.
All he did was put a little sign on his window, "Please order in English." And you can't blame the guy. If you can't understand what somebody wants and you give them the wrong order, they don't want it. So what do? You throw it away?
That's right. That's right.
I'll
tell you, it's been a pleasure talking to you, Bill, and I really give you a lot of credit, because I get a lot of people that don't like me because I'm very candid, you know. If I feel a certain way, I just, I don't care. I'll come out and say it. If you don't like it, don't listen.
That's the way it is. If you don't like it, just listen to somebody else. That's all. I'm the same way. I say the way I feel, and those that don't like it, you know, it's their opinion not to like it, and I'll respect their opinion.
Yeah. If you don't like it, press 2, and you don't have to listen to me.
Exactly. Well, I thank you for calling in, and you have a good evening. Take care of yourself.
You too.
Thanks a lot.
Hey, Bill?
Yes.
Hi, my name is Rara from Addison, Illinois. Say, I've got a question. I want to thank you for all of the things that you're doing to support, you know, the rights of the people to say what they want, to, you know, get on the right side of the issues. What would you do to get more of the silent majority of the folks, which is, you know, thinks our way to come out and do more to take the station back from people like Harlan Specter and other left-wing people to, you know, take our rights, take America first, and make this nation, I guess, a real, real good nation to live in for all of us.
Basically, what everybody has to do is just speak up. If you let people know how you feel, instead of everybody's also worried about being politically correct, they're afraid of, you know, well, if I say this, it's going to offend somebody. Tough shit. If it offends them, then it can't be right, because the majority feels the way you and I do.
Right.
If I went through every email that we got and every phone call that I got, I can guarantee you I don't have 0.1% of negativity. Everybody that's called me is positive. So what does that say?
Mm-hmm.
Say, Bill?
Yes.
David Leonard here, Atlanta, Georgia.
Yes, sir.
I guess you probably noticed you peaked out on your server about a month or so ago, a little more.
Peaked out quite a few times, yes, sir.
Yeah, we've got a talk show host down here that kind of puts you on the map in our neck of the woods. But what everybody seems to be saying is in effect, the apathy of the voter, or somebody that just goes and votes and thinks that they've contributed and done what they're supposed to do, that's not the thing. I mean, when you put a kid in a candy store, you better watch what he eats, and that's what happens.
Exactly.
We put these people in Washington, and all of a sudden, our job is done. No, we have to babysit these guys, or they'll run riot.
That was my point. Once they're in there, you got to monitor what they're doing, and if they're not doing it right, you either call them while they're still in office, and you get enough people behind you with a petition to make yourself heard, and then you tell them, look, we have, you know, X amount, thousands and thousands of signatures here, and this bill that you're coming up with, you better do it the right way, otherwise come election time, you're not going to be around.
Well, see, the thing is, now, what we've got going here tonight is the perfect example of viral information. You know, by virtue of everybody here getting together and speaking, then they can go back and tell a bunch of people, and, you know, it kind of progresses the same way a virus.
Exactly, and I'll give you a good example of that is, and I don't even like saying this because it sounds like I'm pushing them, but my shirts and my hats, the people that buy them contact me back and say that they got so much positive response on it because maybe somebody didn't see the signs on the internet or don't know what's going on, and all of a sudden they see that and say, where the hell did you get that? What's that mean? That's pretty good. And the next thing you know, you got more positive feed off of that.
Yeah, I emailed you and I told you I do it the opposite way. I put all that stuff on my bumper stickers, and instead of having traffic pass me, I pass the traffic with it.
Yeah, that's a good idea. This way everybody that's behind you can read it.
Sure, and you make them with magnets, and you can just, you know, change your mind. You can change your bumper stickers.
Yeah, exactly. But the thing is, you're putting a point out there, and you're making it, and that's the important thing.
Yeah, but the other thing is to find other like-minded people who have that point, and to organize each little group, each little faction of these people around the country, and pretty soon you've got a movement that goes from a couple people talking about the fair tax to things the other day, that, like in Orlando, they had 12,000 people down there standing in the stifle and heat to listen to Johnny Isaacson and Neil Bortz talk about the book. And these things can only be done by word of mouth. They can only be done in these kind of situations. And
now, I'm gonna say something here, and it might sound like it's off the wall, but I've learned something very, very intense in the last 2 months with this internet thing, and I'm pretty much computer illiterate. I'm not ashamed to admit that. I'm old fashioned and I don't like computers, but anyway, when you stop and think about what goes on in this country, like Jesse Ventura runs and he ends up a governor because everybody thought it was a joke, and, you know, because he was a celebrity, this, that, and the other, so people voted just as a joke, but he ended up getting enough votes. But where I'm going with this is, and I don't want it, but a guy like me that just gets online and starts something going crazy could end up running for a big office. You don't need $200 million in a war chest to go out and campaign.
That's
the power of the internet is more powerful, I believe, And these guys, these people, candidates running around from city to city in 10 days doing 12 cities.
Right. And basically you take that money, you take all that campaign money, and it makes you beholden anyway.
Exactly.
This is where television has ruined our election system, is the fact that it costs so much money just to get on TV and smear somebody else.
Exactly, and that's all they do.
The logic of a good election went south, I can't even remember when, probably somewhere right after Kennedy.
Yep.
Right after 63, 64, it all became about things other people can't do instead of what people could do.
Right. I can remember I was about 10 or 12 years old sitting in a barbershop watching a campaign or a convention, and I remember some guy hollering, I cast my 23 votes for Senator S.S.E. Fulfer. So that's like in the late 50s.
Oh, God.
That's when elections were elections. Now all they are briberies.
Didn't Kiefhoffer run against Eisenhower?
Yes, he did.
That's what I thought.
Yep.
Well, we pretty much dated ourselves. I've enjoyed talking to you, and I'm going to clear the floor and let somebody else have at it. Keep doing what you're doing, Bill, and I'll email you.
All right. Thank you very much, and you have a pleasant evening.
Good night.
Hey, Bill, this is Charlie in Rhode Island. Can I jump in?
Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't mean to be rude, but I'm at work and I don't have much time left here. I just wanted to say, you're doing a great job with this sign. And a couple of things. I'd like to know, what do you think we the citizens can do about the price of gas, for one thing, and the other thing is this ridiculous multi-language bullshit. It doesn't seem to matter who gets voted in. They say, well, if you don't like it, vote for somebody else. But they all seem to be the same. You know, they're either sleeping with OPEC or they're a bunch of cowards. I think we need people like you, and I don't know if you've heard from the kid from Brooklyn. Have you ever heard of him? He's got a website, thekidfrombrooklyn.com. We need guys like you to run for office. But in the meantime, can we get something going? I mean, what's the answer?
Well, the answer is, If everybody would, and this is the hardest thing, is to get people to slow down. If people would slow down in their gas consumption and just, like, boycott gas stations for one day, do you realize how much fuel would back up and the price would have to drop? Nobody wants to slow down.
Yeah, I've been trying to get people to do that. They don't seem to pay attention. The other thing I've been telling people is go to the cheapest gas station in your town. If everybody went to the cheapest gas station and it started backing up at the other stations, they'd have to drop the price. But a lot of people just don't seem to do that.
They're all relying on the other guy to do the job for them. That's why. They don't want the inconvenience.
Because they
don't want the inconvenience, they're paying for it. It's just like you're talking about the price of gasoline. I use 93 octane. You know, months ago, there was like a nickel spread between the gasolines. Then it went to 7 cents, 8 cents, and then it was a dime. Now it's 20 cents and up between them. So they tell you gas is on the average at $2.97 to $3 a gallon. That's for the low-end shit. Where they're making all their money is on all the SUVs, the big pickups and everything else on the 93s. They're making another 40 cents a gallon on. Why do you think they're making over $1 billion a day in net profit?
Yeah. The other thing
they're gouging every which way they can.
The other thing is people, they'll come down a few cents every once in a while, and people will go, hey, you know, down here at this station, it's down to $2.75. That's not bad. It is bad. It's terrible. But people get conditioned. You know, they think, oh, gee, it came down a little. Isn't that great? It should be about $1.50 a gallon.
You know what the mindset between the oil company and the consumer is? The oil company wants to raise gas 40 cents a gallon. So they put out, you know, the scare that there's the Mideast thing, there's this. They always have an excuse. And it goes up to 60 to 70 cents a gallon, and everybody complains. And then it comes down 30 cents, so they raised it 40, and everybody's relieved because it came down 30 cents.
But it
went up 40 cents.
Right, but people don't realize that. You know, every time I hear somebody say, hey, you know, it's down to 2.92 over here, that's not bad. I just want to slap them for being so stupid.
Exactly.
All right, thanks, Bill. I'm going to jump out, and you're doing a great job. Keep it up.
Thank you very much, and don't work too hard tonight.
All right, take care.
All right.
Hi, Bill. How you doing?
Hey, Bill.
Yes.
Mike Schumacher from St. Clair Shores, Michigan. How are you?
Very good, sir. How about yourself?
Good. Thing that bothers me right now, just like to say, first of all, great job with the signs. My favorite one is about the Arabs guarding the port.
Right. That to me was like, holy Christ.
Exactly.
I couldn't even come up with
That's my favorite one. I got that as my wallpaper at work, and some people don't like it, but hey, tough shit. It's freedom of speech.
That's right. That's your right to feel the way you want to feel.
Exactly. The issue in the world that bothers me the most right now is the thing going on in Israel.
Yes.
And, you know, I love the United States with all my heart. I've even, in recent years and even now, considered possibly joining a service because I love my country so much. But what I don't understand is, where does the United States have the nerve to go in and tell Israel to have a ceasefire when they're being attacked by terrorist groups?
Exactly.
The United States was attacked by a terrorist group, and they're still fighting that terrorist group.
Right. There was no ceasefire from 9/11. We haven't ceased one day.
No. I don't understand. If you look at the Middle East, all the people over there, their only function in life is they want to kill Americans. They have babies. They teach them to kill Americans. The only country over there that's worth a damn is Israel.
Right.
That is the only stable country in that region. They are just like America. They're taking on two other countries in war, and I don't understand how that Condoleezza Rice has the nerve to go over there and ask for a ceasefire.
It's just another way of them getting involved because they still feel that they have to police the world.
Yes.
And why that is, I don't know.
If Israel is attacked, they have every single God-given right to defend themselves. Because
sure.
If somebody attacks you, and you do not go after them, you've just told every other terrorist organization in the world, come and attack me.
Yeah, you're open for plucking.
I think the Israeli Prime Minister, what he's doing is fantastic. He's fighting back, and let's not forget how this is taken. There are three Israeli soldiers kidnapped.
Right.
And if you look at America, when it talks about its Marines, it says very strongly, no man gets left behind, dead or alive, everybody comes home. If America has three soldiers kidnapped by another country, are they just going to leave those soldiers to that country? Go ahead and torture them for the next 35 years. Do whatever you want to do to them.
Well, you know, I could comment on that. It would depend on who was in office, like Jimmy Carter. When they had our prisoners, our people, for 444 days, and while they were swearing in Ronald Reagan, they were releasing the hostages because
mm-hmm.
they knew as soon as he lowered his right hand, he was sending the Marines.
Yeah, well, I'm only 24 years old, so that was way before my time, but I just do not understand the nerve of the United States to tell other people who are attacked by terrorists to back off. They showed pictures that the Israelis are targeting these civilian buildings. If you look at pictures, the Hezbollah, they let them come in and put their rockets and their missiles in these civilian buildings.
That's their way. They use the civilians as a shield.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you bomb them, then they tell you that you're killing civilians.
Exactly.
Well, if you want to go to war like a real man, and go to war outside the civilians and fight. Don't
exactly.
use the civilians as your bulletproof armor.
Exactly. And if you look at the Hezbollah, what are they targeting? Civilians and nothing more than civilians.
That's all they do. Their impact is to terrorize. They don't care if they kill kids, women, children, what. It's as long as they get their point across.
Exactly. And they have the nerve to sit there and they call all those other countries, these terrorist groups, they call the United States cowards because they drop bombs on them. And these terrorists are, let's be martyrs, we're so powerful because they want to fight you in the streets. How powerful is a terrorist and how much of a man is a terrorist who kills a three-year-old girl? They
exactly.
kill billions. Don't have the nerve to call us cowards.
I agree with you 100% there.
Yeah, well, I want to free up the lines, but great job on the science, and keep it up, Bill.
All right, thank you very much for the call. I appreciate
it
very much.
Bye-bye.
Hi, Bill. How you doing? It's John.
Very good.
John Trallo from Stonestown, Pennsylvania. I have a question. In your opinion, what do you think is the bigger picture that the government has in mind with all this illegal immigration and the language they're using, calling them undocumented workers? What do you think is behind that? Why do you think they're doing that?
I think most of them are afraid that if they end up legalizing these people, and because of the multitude of them, they're afraid of losing that vote. That's where their problem is. If they were to make these people illegal, which they are,
that's right,
and just call a spade a spade, don't worry about them right now because they don't have a vote.
Well,
make them go through the system. Make them appreciate what they're going to get. And I guarantee you, if you do that to these people or for these people, however you want to do it, in the long run, they will respect you that much more.
Absolutely. Well, see, what I'm thinking is this. You know, the way I see it is, you know, we're not protecting our borders. We're not securing them, not only against illegals, but against even criminals. Criminals, terrorists, anything entering this country. The other thing we're not doing is, you know, these people are coming here because they claim, you know, they need employment. They're coming here for what they call unskilled labor jobs, but yet this government is not going after the employers who hire these people. And, you know, I think that, to me, what that's telling me is, I think there is literally a war on the middle class. There's a war on the working man in this country. I think it's about driving the wages down and creating a have and a have not system in this country. And if you keep the people poor enough, if you keep them broke enough, if you keep them unarmed, you can control them. And I really think that's what this government has in mind at this point. Because now here's a, you know, one case in point. Just last week there was an article that I read about how the United States government has stopped legal drugs from entering this country cold from the Canadian border that were benefiting senior citizens who could not afford to buy them here. But yet, in the same breath, this government tells me that they can't stop the illegal immigration and the illegal drugs coming in from Mexico.
And it all goes back to what I was saying before. You have to hold these people accountable, whether it's at a mayor level, a governor level, a senator, a congressman, up to your president. These people have to be made accountable for what is going on.
Yes, they do. And the thing is, once these people get in office, they have it in their mind that they know better than the people that they were elected to represent. They know what's best for America. They don't know what's best for America. What they do know is what's best for corporate America, and that's who's lining their pockets.
Exactly.
You know, and I mean, I'm the son of immigrants. My parents, you know, came to this country as, you know, as children from Italy. Both my parents spoke Italian, you know, two different dialects fluently, but yet in my house, it was never spoken. Both me and my siblings were never taught the Italian language. We were taught to speak English. We were Americans. My parents came here to assimilate, to become Americans. They signed the guest book when they got here at Ellis Island, learned the language, and took the oath.
They came into this country like most, like all legal immigrants, for the American dream.
Exactly. But these people are coming in here. You know, they don't want to become citizens. That they, in a sense, they feel that the United States, you know, especially, you know, the Southwest United States, is still their territory. They still feel it's their country, and they have a right to it. They want to take it back. They want to change the language. They want to change the culture. But yet, at the same time, you know, they also want the government handouts, and they want the government jobs.
And that's not the way it should be. And
it never
ends up getting close to that, let alone even getting thought about like that, because it's absurd.
Absolutely. And now I heard you mention earlier Rick Santorum. Now, like I said, I live in Sonestown, Pennsylvania. I've emailed Senator Santorum quite a few times. At first, early on, I thought he was kind of on the fence about this thing. He seemed like he was going to go with the wind. I'm not going to judge his character, but I do know this. I know a lot of people have put pressure on him, and now he has done a complete 180, and now he is for stopping this amnesty bill that the government's trying to get through.
And why did he do that? Because he got pressure from his constituents, because he knew
that's right.
Election's coming up, and if he doesn't go the right way with his vote, he's going to lose. And that's
absolutely
the way everybody should make every politician feel. That's why they're there. They're there for the good of us, not just for their job of, you know, 70, 90, 130,000 a year plus fringes, plus retirement, plus everything. That's not, they're there for that too, don't get me wrong. But they get into this because they're supposed to be for us.
That's right. That's right. I mean, I have no problem with them being well compensated. I have no problem with them being professional politicians, but they need to do the job they're elected to, you know, which is first and foremost represent the people of this country.
Right.
That's what they have to do.
The majority of the people, the majority of the people want something to be done, like the gentleman caller before you said. 84% of the people polled want English to be the national language.
Oh, yeah. Well, do you realize
there you are. If 84% of this population was to put that pressure on every constituent out there, we wouldn't have a problem where we would have to worry about what our language is going to be.
I mean,
you know, you go into I'm going to give you a quick scenario. You go into Lowe's Home Improvement.
Mm-hmm.
Look up at the sign and it says appliances for this aisle, but under it says it in Spanish.
What
do they need that for?
Right.
Something, you bring it to the checkout counter, they scan it, it comes up on the screen in English.
Right.
When
you're
done with the sale, you present your credit card and it the machine tells you swipe here and it says it in English. Then it asks you if you accept it. In English, and it also asks you for your signature in English. And if you don't use a credit card, you're paying for cash. And there's no slot in that register for pesos.
That's right.
So why do we have to conform with Spanish for everything we're doing in stores and everywhere else?
Oh, absolutely. And you know, here's something that a lot of people I don't think are aware of. Do you realize there are 53 countries in the world that have English as their official language, and the United States is not one of them? We are not one of them. And that is a disgrace.
Sure it is.
It is an absolute disgrace. I mean, and when you consider what's going on, you know, in the Middle East, you know, we're sanctioning that Israel defend its borders. But yet we don't do that here.
We don't do that. We've got army bases and we've got military bases all over the world in different countries like Germany and everywhere that have been there since World War II. The war's over for over 60 years. We should bring all these troops back to this country.
Absolutely.
And put them on the borders.
That's right. I mean, you know, when I hear people say, well, we shouldn't be using the National Guard to protect them. Well, they're the National Guard. That's part of their job. That is their job.
Then they tell you that they're going to send the National Guard down there, and they're not going to do any police work. They're just there for engineering and for advice.
Right.
Well, why send them then?
Right. They put them down. They put them down there and then tie their hands. So they
it's just like back in the 60s in the riots, they put the National Guard up with no ammunition in the guns. What the hell was the sense in putting them out there to get killed?
Exactly. Exactly. You know that's why I think you know it's. You know, a lot of what's going on with this government, you know, is just a lot of smoke and mirrors when they talk about the war on terrorism, you know, and how they're doing everything they can to defend this country. I don't see it like that.
It's all politics.
Yeah, I mean, I've come to the conclusion whenever I hear a government official declare war on something, whether it's war on poverty, war on drugs, you know, war on unemployment, war on terrorism. Whenever they declare war on it, it always means like we're going to live with it for life now because it never seems to go away. They just create more government bureaucracies that cost the taxpayer more money and nothing gets done.
Exactly.
And I just think it's a disgrace. I think, you know, I pray to God that I am wrong. I see their, you know, the potential for another civil war in this country, but it's not going to be a racial thing. It's not going to be a religious thing. I think it's going to be economics. It's going to be the haves and the have-nots. That's what's going to happen in this country. You know, because there's only so much that the middle class can stand. When they're talking about raising the minimum wage, which has not been raised in 10 years, from $5.15 to $7.15 by 2010, but the trade-off on that is going to be tax breaks and tax credits for the employers and a higher percentage that the employee is going to have to pay for benefits.
Right.
They're going to give them a dollar and take back two.
Bill, quick question.
Yes.
Hello.
This is Jim in Connecticut. On the lighter side, the creative process you go through for these signs, could you give an example and maybe put a limitation on...
What's that? I didn't hear you.
The creative process that you go through in putting up those signs, you get up in the morning, read the newspaper, and you go out and change the sign, or what?
That's basically it. I watch a lot of news, and when something pisses me off on the news, that's when I go out and grab the ladder and change the sign. Right now, the only news, national news that's out there right now is about Israel, so there's really nothing to, you know, get crazy about on changing the sign.
You don't run it by anybody, you just go out there and just change it.
That's me. It's all me. There's nobody else involved.
Hey, Bill.
There's a lot of us up in Connecticut that love it, Bill. Keep it up.
All right, thank you very much.
Hey, Bill.
Yes.
Brian,
how are you?
Okay, Bush
is listening, so we better use big words.
What's that?
Bush is listening, so we better use big words.
Why is that?
Because he won't be able to understand us and wiretap us. Anyway, I have a question about, have you ever worried about any retribution from any of the agencies about your signs?
No.
I
never worry about that. I mean, what I'm doing is I'm exercising my First Amendment of freedom of speech. I never say anything that isn't true, and I don't lie, and I don't come down on anybody that in a disparaging way.
Bill, there have been several people that have went to certain protests and did not cause any problems. One of them had a Carrie Edwards button pinned on her T-shirt. Another lady had a No More War sign. They were school teachers. Their reward was a pair of handcuffs and a strip search at the county jail. All these cases are being fought, and also another lady had a blood for oil bumper sticker on her car, and she was arrested. I mean, the CIA comes up and arrests these people.
Well, I don't even know how to comment on that because
I don't either.
Boundaries, you know, they're violating civil rights there somewhere.
And they're all taking the federal government to task, and they're taking them to court, but it's not doing any good. Bush has quietly closed down the special section of the CIA that was devoted solely to capturing Bin Laden. That was in July of this year, just this month. And he could also seize absolute control of the U.S. government. He assigned executive orders giving him sole authority to impose martial law, suspend habeas corpus, and ignore the Posse Comitatus Act that prohibits deployment of U.S. troops on American streets. This would give him absolute dictatorial power over the entire government with no checks and balances. I mean, what kind of country are we living in?
Well, it sounds like an anarchy to me, but I don't see anybody coming into my place.
And I hope they don't come in there and all my place, and I love your signs. And I got your shirt here in front of me.
I thank you very much for that. And let me ask you a question. You get a lot of positive comments about that shirt?
Oh, yeah, people love it. People are sick and tired, and they've had enough. You know, is it 2008 yet? That's what everybody asked me.
That's great, and I thank you for that.
Well, thank you, Bill, for putting up the signs and entertaining us and speaking your mind and doing what's right.
All right, thank you very much. Have a pleasant evening.
You too.
Hi,
thanks.
Hello.
Hello. Yes.
Go ahead. Ryan from New Jersey.
Yes, how you doing?
How you doing? I just have to say, you know, the U.S. sends all this money to other places, you know, for their people who are struck in poverty and everything. What about the U.S.? I mean, there's millions of poverty-stricken people in the U.S.
I agree with you. But there are also agencies for people to go to be able to apply for things and they don't take advantage of it. But I do agree that we shouldn't worry about taking care of the rest of the world. Just like when the tsunami hit, we sent millions and millions of dollars over there, and they were complaining that it wasn't enough. If somebody, if I was going to give you $100 for something and you were to tell me it wasn't enough, I'd cancel my check.
Happy with what you get.
That's right, exactly.
You're not getting anything. And, you know, but, also, I don't mean to sound stereotypical to Middle Easterns and stuff, but I saw the sickest thing the other day. I was in the post office, and there is a Middle Eastern working our U.S. Postal Service.
Well, they're working everywhere. As long as they are legal immigrants, they're entitled to have a job just like you and I are, and I don't have a problem with that. The only problem I have with the Mideasterns, if you want to call them that, there is a thing going on, it's been going on for years now that most people don't know about, is when they go into business, because they're a foreign minority or whatever you want to call it, they end up with a 5-year tax break that they don't have to pay any taxes for 5 years. So then they turn around and after 4.5 or 4.75 years, they sell that business to their brother, who gets the same 5-year tax break. So they're not paying taxes for 10 years.
You try to do that. Money right back.
Right. You try to do that.
If we try to do that, you know,
the problem is that the government makes these programs to make it attractive for people to come into this country to invest money, but then they know how to work the system and they make them loopholes for these people to be able to bury the system.
Yep. I agree 100%.
Well, thank you very much for your call and have a nice evening.
Bill, I have a comment.
Hello.
Hello, Bill, I have a comment.
Yes, sir.
Iraq needs a constitution. Why don't we just give them ours because we're not using it?
Well, the Constitution is a very important document, and we should be using it. And
that's absolutely right.
Holding all your representatives and politicians accountable for everything, and that's what we should be doing.
I know it.
Going back to the basics.
And let the oil companies send in their own troops.
Right, exactly.
Rich people start wars, poor people die in them, and their children pay for them.
Yep, and that's an ongoing thing, and that's going to continue. That's just the way life is.
Vote while you still can.
Very unfortunate. I'm sorry?
I said, while you still can.
Exactly.
Thanks for talking to me.
Thank you very much. Good night.
Hello, Bill?
Yes, ma'am.
Hi, this is Christine in Arizona. How are you?
A lot better now that I heard your voice.
Bill, we know about the illegal immigration problem over here in Arizona, and we've got two thoughts on that, Bill. First one is, an armed society is a polite society, so most of us carry guns out here, and it's our legal God-given right to do so.
All right.
And number two, we all believe that if we just cut right to the chase on what the real issue is, invade Mexico, take their oil, make all the jobs down there, they'll all go back there. What do you think, Bill?
That's a good point. That's a very good point. We should do that over in Iraq, too. Why are we spending money for their country and then paying them for the oil?
Exactly.
We should be taking that oil over there.
That's our agenda. Let's just get right to the chase and let's just do it.
Exactly. I agree with you 100%. If you were my neighbor and you told me you were going to put an addition on your house, I'm going to tell you, you know what, I'm going to come over Saturday and I'm going to help you. I'm going to bring my hammer. But I'm not going to show up with 4 truckloads of lumber from Home Depot to pay for your house. And that's what we're doing over there.
Exactly. Well, I just might be your neighbor someday because my whole family's moving back to Corry, Pennsylvania.
Well, you know what,
We've had enough of these Mexicans here, so...
You look me up.
I will. I was looking at your menu online, and seafood in Arizona is an oxymoron. We can't get it here, and if it is, it isn't any good. And I can't wait to have some lobster tails. And I love your signs. I hope you see something about let's just get down and take the oil. Just do it, Bill.
Let's do it all at one time. Do it right.
Thank you for your call. I'll see you soon.
All right.
Hey, Bill.
Bye.
Take care. Bye.
Hey, Bill.
Hello, Bill.
From California.
Hello, Bill.
Yes, sir. Yes. Hello.
Hello, Bill?
Yes, yes.
Hi, this is Terry from Virginia.
Yes, how are you doing this evening?
Hi, I'm doing fine, sir. I love your signs, and I love it that you speak your mind, and There's a lady named Maggie Kuhn that says, speak your mind, even if your voice shakes, yours does not shake.
Exactly, exactly.
Not at all. And there was an earlier guy that called and said that he liked to put stuff on his car, the bumper stickers.
Yes.
I do, too, and it might piss him off, or it might make him say, yeah, but it makes him think.
But
it makes them think.
The whole idea is to make somebody think, exactly.
Exactly. My car may be keyed, somebody may slash my tires, but it makes them think, and that's a rare thing these days.
Right.
And
I mean,
people
are too lazy to even do that anymore, for the most part.
Exactly. And one of the signs that I liked of yours the most about the political crap, you said in 2 weeks, our televisions will be free of political bullshit. I am Bill Balsamico, and I approve this message. So,
that's on. That was around election time when every 35 seconds another commercial was on for a presidential candidate, and I just got tired of watching it.
Yes. Yes. And as far as the immigration thing, which is a real hot button, in Virginia there are a lot of Hispanic people, et cetera. They'll come in through North Carolina, et cetera, if they happen to survive and make it across the border and can actually pay the fees to do so, then they get up here. And actually, there are some companies, some large warehouse distribution center type companies that get tax breaks for hiring illegal immigrants.
Well, those are
people
that should be stopped. How are they protected?
They're
our government
talks about It's not the INS anymore. It's like NCI something.
NCIS?
Something like that. Somehow warnings come down, et cetera, and neither OSHA nor those people seem to really care what is going on in places like that. But as far as immigration, these Hispanic people that come in, and many of them are illegal, very few of them speak any English, may understand a lot of it, but don't speak any English.
They're smart like the fox.
Okay.
Yes, of course. I was a landscaping foreman in Arlington, Virginia, about 10 years ago, and I had some Guatemalan guys working underneath me. And they understand. It's like I can understand a little bit of high German. I can understand some Spanish. I can understand some French, but I can't speak it. You can understand it, but they play stupid. Noble, et cetera. It doesn't matter where you're from. It's like, look, when you come into this country, learn our ways, assimilate, try to get along. I had gotten an email from somebody who had documented something about some doctor and his wife who had gone to Mexico. All the crap they had to go through, all the bribes they had to pay, all the classes they had to take, all the things they had to sign, etc. What is happening to people? You know, what about the indigenous American population that pays the taxes and does the work, etc.? People come from out of the country and go, oh, we want special treatment even though we haven't done shit. Sorry, that's wrong.
It's definitely wrong, and that's not the way it should be, and that's the whole problem. And everybody's got to get to their representatives, and they've got to put pressure on them to stop this. And that's the only way it's going to be done. It has to be done through the process, because it's the process that put us where we're at. So we have to reverse the process.
Apathy. And I have to admit, there have been times that I have not voted in elections, but even though the Electoral College, et cetera, that's another situation is messed up. We still have some kind of a voice.
Yeah, you have to vote, and even if you only vote, if there's 50 tickets to vote on, but you only vote on one, make that one an important one and make it count. That's what the system's all about.
Get out and proselytize and get some tomatoes thrown at you. At least it gets people's attention.
Exactly.
But anyway, like they say
in Hollywood, even if they're talking bad about you, at least they're talking about you.
Exactly. Quit hating me because you're making me famous.
Okay.
All right. Well, sir.
Bill, I have one more comment.
Thank you for the call.
Okay, we have time for one more call, everybody. One more caller.
I got one more call, Bill.
Bill, are you there?
Yes, program.
Bill, this is Jerry in California. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir, I can. Thank you.
Yeah. Glad to join you. I'm a newbie here.
Okay.
I don't know whether you accept new...
I'm new.
To your sign, but I don't know whether you've heard this one before. As far as I know, it's not copyrighted. If you heard it, I'm sorry. If you haven't, get a piece of paper and pencil. It says, if you don't stand behind our troops, please feel free to stand in front of them.
That's a good one. but I will tell you that the only thing that I ever put on my signs is my own. So nobody can ever say that I put something up or that I heard from somebody. What I do is I take my own little mind, whether it's a midget mind or whatever it is, I use it for that sign, and I don't take anybody's comments, but I appreciate your input. And it's not
I respect that, Bill,
lighting you anywhere. I just use my own, and this way nobody can say that I use what
Excellent.
They said.
No, you do a good job, probably better than anything else we could submit. Keep on doing
I don't know about that. I just do what I feel. That's all I do.
Super.
Bill, when's your next program?
I don't know. I'm going to have to be talking to my webmaster because he's the one that's going to set it up. But he will put it out there on the internet and make it available. For as successful as this one was, I think we're going to be doing another one real soon.
Yeah, let me make a comment. Let me make a comment on that. Hold on one second.
All callers are muted.
Okay, yeah, this is David Thomas again. Yes, we definitely will hold another call. What we'll do, everyone, is make sure that you are on our sign update list. If you go to the website and you look at the signs and you see on the page where you can click the button to get on our update list, and that way we let you know when we add a new sign photo to the site, we'll also use that same list to announce our next call. So if you're not on that list, go join it, and we'll let you know when the next call will be. We did schedule this call for an hour, so we have to cut it off. I know there was a lot of people that still want to talk to Bill. But Bill, do you have any closing remarks you'd like to make before we call tonight?
The only thing I would like to say is I thank everyone out there for the support that they're giving me and the comments that they give me. I take everybody's comment to heart. And like I said, 99.9 of what I got so far is positive. I even take the negative to heart because that's their feeling and they're entitled to that. And maybe I can take that negative and I can make something work out of it too. But I thank everybody for being as involved as they are. And I never dreamt that this was going to be what it is today. I just go out there and put something on a sign just because something pisses me off, and all of a sudden everybody in America is talking to me, and that is a big, wonderful feeling.
All right, fantastic. Well, what we're going to do, folks, I'm going to unmute the line so everybody can say goodnight to Bill, and then we'll hang up the call, and that'll be it, and we'll let you know when the next call is going to be.
All callers are unmuted.
Okay, everybody, good. Say goodnight to Bill.
Good night, Bill.
Conference
recording has stopped.
Sweetie, we love you.
Hey, yeah, we love you.
Yeah, man, God bless you, guy.
Thank
God
you.
Bless you.
Thank you.